From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. New Hanover County's Board of Education has four open seats this year. Eight people, four Democrats and four Republicans, are competing for those seats, which carry four-year terms. Today, we'll meet half of the candidate pool, two Democrats, two Republicans. Tomorrow, we'll meet the other half. Ed Higgins, a board member since 1994, also the current chairman, lost his re-election bid in the May primary. Today, we'll meet each candidate one-on-one, and that person will answer your questions and mine. That is, with the exception of this first segment, which is pre-recorded. You can get your question in the queue for the other three candidates by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also call us during the live Wednesday show at 910-343-1138. Three of the candidates drew numbers to determine the order of their appearance. Bill Rivenbark joins us first. He is a lifelong resident of Wilmington, and he attended New Hanover County Public Schools. His children also attended New Hanover County Public Schools, and his grandchildren attend local public schools as well. Bill Rivenbark edged out incumbent Ed Higgins in that May primary. He is the only Republican of the four not an incumbent. He currently works at a New Hanover County ABC store. Bill Rivenbark, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And tell us first why we're pre-recording this segment.
When you're running for office, you have so many different people pulling at you, wanting you to come speak at this and this, and you want to go to all of them. But I also have a job, and the people I work for are very nice, and they have worked with me endlessly, trying to make sure I could go to everything. And today, I have to go to work, and the time just didn't work out, and I apologize.
Fair enough. New maps to ease overcrowding of some of the public schools are in the works. Proposed middle and high school maps, according to the Star News, would move about 9% of high schoolers and 12% of middle schoolers. Elementary maps haven't yet been released. What do you see as the challenges built into this redistricting process? And if you could control it yourself, what outcome would you promise people who vote for you?
Well, I would like to fix the problem before it happens. We need to build schools so that we don't have this problem. That is what I would like to do. And, of course, we're behind the eight ball now. We can't fix that at this moment. Some kids are going to have to get moved. The thing that I would like to do is leave the sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and move the incoming freshmen so that, you know, they're not at that school now. We've got to build schools. We have got to build schools. And if I am lucky enough to get on the board, the first meeting we have needs to be about starting the process of building at least a junior high school and probably elementary.
Are you suggesting that the current board, which has quite a legacy, there are a number of board members mm-hmm. on this current board who've been there for a very long time, in some cases decades.
And done a pretty good job.
But are you suggesting that they haven't done a good job of planning?
Let me just tell you this. At the ABC store where I work, if someone comes in and they have a credit card, I have to check their ID to make sure it's theirs. People are coming from all over the United States. And I asked them, why did you move here? One lady told me one night, she said, you've got some of the most beautiful beaches in the United States, and we do. She said, you've got a river, you've got a historic district, you've got shopping, dining, major university, major hospital, international airport, and the weather. She said, why wouldn't anybody move here? People are coming here in droves. We're elementary and a middle school are moving here every year or two. We've got to build schools.
On a Facebook post of your primary ballot, you selected yourself and Bruce Schell mm-hmm. as candidates.
Yes.
Not Janice Kavanaugh or Don Hayes?
Janice and Don and Ed had been on there for 25 years apiece. We had David Workman, Lisa Estep, and Bruce, and it was usually a 4-3 vote. It needs to be a 5-2, 6-1. We need to work together, and I felt like I could help them do that.
And what you're saying is you want to shift the balance of the board in terms of the thinking of the board.
Yes, ma'am.
And define for us what that thinking is. How would that balance shift? What is that really about?
A better relationship with the other elected officials. That's where we get all our money from. Bruce Schell was the county manager, and he knows the money flow from the county to the school board. What else would you want on the school board? We've got some smart people on there. I think we can fix a lot of things, but we all need to work together.
Cammy Bellamy of the Star News explains that under this current redistricting proposal, Holly Shelter and Myrtle Grove Middle Schools would see their free and reduced lunch numbers decrease slightly, but Murray, Noble, and Roland Grice Middle Schools would take on more low-income mm-hmm. students. And a Star News investigation a couple of years ago found Roland Grice one of seven schools in the district showing signs of racial resegregation. Trask would grow its low-income population to 45%. Williston would increase to 64%. What would you say about that outcome?
I haven't sat down and punched the numbers and worked it out. I would like to ask all these kids that were busing what they want. You know, are we doing it because it makes us feel better that we're moving these kids around? You move a kid 8 or 10 miles from his house if he gets sick and has to go home and his mother's working, what do? You know, I would like for the kids to be closer to their house. But I don't know if that can work yet.
So you're saying that you would like to see the retention of neighborhood schools as much as possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lady came by me one night at work and she said, are you for neighborhood schools? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, you just lost my vote. And I would like to have gone out and talked to her and asked her why. But I went to neighborhood schools.
Well, some of the opponents of neighborhood schools say that it perpetuates segregation in the community. Do you think that...
Why don't we ask the black kids, who are usually the ones that get punished busing, what they would like, and their parents?
The North Carolina legislature just passed a bill to ease public school calendar rules. This was in response to Hurricane Florence, so that schools in nearly 30 eastern counties, including the Cape Fear region, would be forgiven up to 20 instructional days and still meet requirements in state law. One local woman wrote an opinion piece published in the Star News about it. We have a question from a listener who asks, do the candidates support this waiver? And what do they intend to do to make sure we do not repeat this lengthy school shutdown after the next emergency?
I don't think we can forgive, but so many days the kids need to be in school and class learning. You can't depend on Mother Nature. But they had to go an extra week at the end of the school year and miss maybe some fall break or spring break. You know, these kids need to be in school. The teachers need to be there making money.
And so in this case, what answer would you propose instead of forgiving all those school days?
A couple of days in spring break, a couple of days in fall break, and maybe 2 or 3 days in added to the end of the school year.
Just this week, we learned at least 35 new charter schools want to open in North Carolina, including 2 new schools in the Cape Fear region by 2020. One is proposed for Pender County, the other for Wilmington, a school of the arts. What do you think about charter schools?
I think they're wonderful. That they teach the kids with less money than what the county schools do. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever.
And you alluded earlier to the fact that a lot of school money comes from the state.
Mm-hmm.
Which entities, money comes from federal, state, local government, which entities need to cough up more, in your opinion? Do any?
I don't want to pick on anybody in particular. I don't want to, if I could do without the federal government's money, it would tickle me to death. But the state and the county, I think, are the ones. And the county just stepped up to bat in their last budget and gave the money to the school board that they were asking for. We just need to use it responsibly.
Bill Rivenbark, let's say you are elected. We're looking back now after your first term. You're completing your first term. It's 4 years later. What's different about the school board because you were on it?
I'm going to do everything I can to leave it better than I found it. It's all about the kids. Somebody asked me the other night, he works with operations with the school board, and he said, you know, all you ever hear is teachers don't make enough money, and they don't. They don't. She said, but what about the rest of us? You know, we'd like to have a little extra too. But I think if the state legislatures...
You can finish your thought.
If the state legislatures had to go and sit in a classroom of first or second graders for a week, for 3 or 4 hours a day, they would give the teachers all the money they wanted.
Bill Rivenbark, thank you so much for taking the time to share your views with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews on 91.3 and 98.9 FM. We're meeting half of the candidates for the new Hanover County Board of Education. When we return from this break, we'll talk with Elena Rosemond-Herr. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Two Republicans and two Democrats of the eight candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Education are joining us today. They're competing for four open seats, which carry four-year terms. You can ask your own question of the candidate on this Wednesday by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org or calling us at 910-343-1138. What issues do you want the Board of Education to be thinking about in the coming years? Joining us now, Elena Rosemond-Herr is co-director at Peace Rose Montessori School in Wilmington. Before her move to the Cape Fear region, she worked for the Jewish Museum of Maryland and other museums in that region as a museum educator. Part of her work included outreach to Baltimore public schools. She is running as a Democrat, and if she wins, this would be her first time holding elected office. Elena Rosemond-Herr, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, you're working as an employee of a private school system, so why would you care about the direction of public schools when your professional stakes are with a private school?
That's a really important question. I'm a North Carolinian. I'm from Durham, and I was raised with the understanding that in North Carolina, nothing is more important than our public school system. It's enshrined in our state constitution. North Carolina prides itself on having a long history of public education. And I believe that a strong public school system is the bedrock of our democracy. We need educated, informed citizens. And as a Montessori educator, the place that's available for me in this community is with Peace Rose. I really believe that Montessori is a beautiful way to learn, but that doesn't take away from my support of the public school system.
And how would that support show up if you were on the board? What do you think needs more leadership right now, or your leadership?
One of the things that I'm really passionate about as an early childhood educator, because I teach preschoolers, is the importance of pre-kindergarten education, public pre-kindergarten education. I would like to see New Hanover County expand the amount of seats for public preschool, specifically in targeted communities, because having kindergarten readiness sets a child up for success. It builds our community, strengthens our community when kids are coming to kindergarten ready.
And how would you fund that?
You know, that's a really great question. I know that it's something that has bipartisan support with the county commissioners. Rob Zappel is very vocal about his support. So I think that the school board going to the county commissioners and pleading for this support would be something that was welcomed.
We have a question. Listener Ann from Wilmington asks, how does the candidate feel about having self-defense as a part of the regular curriculum? So a school safety issue.
That's a really good question, Ann. I would love to see more information. I would love to see what the curriculum looked like, what the implementation would be, but I think that it could be something really valuable.
We know there are infrastructure and building design improvements underway around the state to increase the safety of students, plans for more student resource officers. What policy changes, if any, would you like to see that you think would increase the safety factor for students in public schools?
I think that we really need to look at how we're supporting our students mentally and emotionally in the schools. Having additional resource officers can be helpful, but making sure that our students have support for their emotions, for their feelings, for their complicated inner lives will make such a bigger difference than any physical implementation that we can give.
Do you think there should be the option of teachers having weapons?
Absolutely not.
Why?
I can't think of anything more terrifying than a gun in the classroom. I don't think that that's fair to the teachers to put that burden on them. The idea that a teacher would have to be trained to shoot a student, as a teacher, that feels so wrong.
Teachers, as we know, face a host of issues, salary issues, one of them, and that's something that has been worked on at the state level as well as the local level. What do you know about what it's like to be a teacher in a new Hanover County Public School? And what could you do as a board member to facilitate excellent teaching?
I've had the opportunity to have conversations with teachers about their experience in New Hanover County. And what I hear over and over again from my contacts that are teachers is that they don't have a lot of involvement with the school board members in the schools. They are all desperate for the school board members to come into the schools on a regular basis to talk with them and meet with them and see what conditions are like. And I think that that's something that's very immediate that school board members could do to make a difference.
Is there a particular element of a teacher's experience that you know you think you could help with?
Not necessarily. I think that one of my strengths as a person is empathy and my ability to observe and listen. I believe that sitting and observing and hearing the teachers and the students and the staff is something that's valuable and needed.
We've gotten a couple of questions on the issue of makeup days after Hurricane Florence. We know the North Carolina legislature just passed a bill, expecting Governor Cooper to sign it, that will ease public school calendar rules so that the schools in the counties hardest hit by Hurricane Florence can be forgiven up to 20 instructional days. A local woman wrote an opinion piece published in the Star News arguing many of these students already are vulnerable to poor educational outcomes. Missing 17 days of instruction imposes additional barriers, disrupts learning, likely to have an adverse effect on their overall achievement. What's your answer to this concern?
Oh, it's such a complicated issue, and I don't think that there is an easy answer that doesn't have drawbacks. I think the idea of asking students and staff to work longer days or come in Saturdays or work through the summer is not a good option. There's a lot of flaws to that. But also missing so many instructional days is also a terrible option. I think that it's a situation where the teachers and the students are going to come back and be very overwhelmed and hit the ground running. And I won't pretend to have the expertise to have made to know what the right choice is. But I do feel like it is going to be challenging, and the school system is going to have to work hard to support its teachers and its students to stay on track to finish the year.
We're talking with Elena Rosemond Herr. She is a Democratic candidate for New Hanover County's Board of Education, one of eight candidates for four open seats. You can ask your own question of the candidate during this live Wednesday discussion by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email a question to coastline@whqr.org. New maps to work on overcrowding in the public school systems. Those maps are in the works. We've seen proposals for middle and high school maps. The Star News reports that under these proposed maps, a couple of middle schools would see their free and reduced lunch numbers decrease slightly, but Murray, Noble, and Roland Grice middle schools would take on more low-income students. And Roland Grice was one of seven schools found by a Star News investigation to show signs of racial resegregation. We know there's a correlation there between high poverty and high minority schools. Trask's FRL population would grow to 45%, Williston 64%. What do you think of that outcome?
I think that it's a step in the right direction, but I think it's not far enough. We know that 30 to 40% is the ideal percentage of students who are receiving free and reduced lunch for overall success. That's success for every student. That blend allows all students to achieve. And I think that we are moving in that direction, and I appreciate that the school board made this a priority in their redistricting, and I hope that as we continue drawing these maps and having community conversations, it stays a priority. I know that it is something that the community is concerned about and strongly supports moving in a more balanced direction.
Those schools, though, that will see an increase mm-hmm. in their student population of kids who are on free and reduced lunch, mm-hmm. is that a move in the right direction?
Absolutely. We know that having a student body population that is diverse in socioeconomic backgrounds is something that is beneficial to all students. Having friends and classmates that come from different backgrounds is a benefit to students. It allows us all to grow into global community members, and that's something that we should support as a community.
Some people say getting away from neighborhood schools mm-hmm. is, of course, going to require busing.
Right.
And that is a downside for students.
Absolutely.
If they get sick and they need to be able to, you know, mom needs to pick them up quickly. Where is the balance there between busing a student to a little bit farther away versus giving them that experience of diversity?
Absolutely. You know, Wilmington, New Hanover County is not a huge place. There's an approach that I think we can find that is a middle ground, something along the lines of neighborly schools, where you're staying close to home, you're not going 30 minutes across the county, but we're shifting the map slightly so that we're combining some neighborhoods, we're bringing different populations together, but not asking anyone to stray too far from home. And we know that those maps are, we know that we're able to draw those maps because they've been drawn before.
And we're getting to the end, but you are a huge supporter of the arts. Part of the reason those things wind up on the chopping block is because that, you know, administrators have to cut somewhere. So how would you fund the arts?
I think that that is something that we are going to have to ask our state legislators to support, and that's one of the reasons that I am excited to support so many wonderful candidates on the state level, because we do need those funding. We need that funding. We need that support.
Elena Rosemont-Herr, thanks for taking the time to share your views.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're meeting half of the candidates for the New Hanover County Board of Education. When we return from this break, we'll talk with Don Hayes. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Two Republicans and two Democrats of the eight candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Education join us today, competing for four open seats, which carry four-year terms. You can ask your own question of our candidates on this Wednesday by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org or calling us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. What issues do you want the Board of Education to consider? in the coming years. Joining me now, Don Hayes, a Republican, has been on the board since 1994, a total of 24 years. He has served as chairman of the board five times, and he is a former New Hanover County teacher and assistant principal. Before earning his degrees, including a Master of Education from UNCW, he served two tours in Vietnam. Don Hayes, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You said before we came on the air that it was those two tours in Vietnam that motivated you to go back to school. Tell us about
that. Well, service has always been very important to my family, and I grew up here, graduated from New Hanover High School, and not a very serious student when I first attended what was then Wilmington College. And not doing well academically, so like I say, service has always been important. And my father and my two older brothers had served in the military, so I left school, not reluctantly, and went in the military. And if you read my bio today on the school board page, you will see that I say on there that the best four-year degree that I ever received was my 4 years in the military. It not that I was that rowdy or whatever, but I just lacked a little discipline in certain areas and not properly motivated. So when I left the military, which in a sense was a mistake because I enjoyed it, but I decided I'd go where the money was. I've always had this thing about history and I love it, so I decided, like I said, to go where the money was and become a history teacher.
Okay. A little bit of sarcasm there. Well, let's start with that then.
Okay.
What to do about teacher pay in this state? It's still an issue. The state, of course, has worked on it. There's a new Hanover County supplement. Is there more to be done?
Oh, yes. I think that we can certainly move upward when you look at other states and so forth. What we have tried to do locally is with our local supplement to increase that as best we can, and then also talk with our legislators about teacher pay and so forth. Particularly, well, they started at one end. We also want to see the other end. Well, we want to see it all addressed, but particularly though the veteran teachers that really did not receive what I think they should have when they were working on this. So we're constantly talking and so forth, but we do what we can locally and then stress to our legislators to help on the other end.
Of course, you are in the midst now of redrawing maps for the public school system to ease overcrowding, and we've seen proposed middle and high school maps. The Star News reports that would move about 9% of high schoolers, 12% of middle schoolers. And they also point out that a couple of middle schools would see their free and reduced lunch numbers decrease slightly, but three middle schools would take on more low-income students. Growing Trask's FRL population to 45%, Williston's to 64%. How would you evaluate that outcome?
Well, I think that you talk about overall or just the high schools, middle schools, or because what I've always been a very strong proponent of choice. I think the more choice that we can provide parents, I think that the happier they are, really, and the more pleased they are with the public school system. We're doing that on the high school level through programs that each high school has that the others do not. There are a lot of things that are common, but then there are things that are uncommon, such as the Lyceum program at New Hanover, marine science down at Ashley, and so forth. So we're hoping that by allowing choices into those programs, that will help distribute students and so forth. Now, on the middle school level, what is so desperate there was the overcrowding that was at Laney, which we're looking long range because we do look long-range, regardless of what some people think we do, and we're required by the state every 5 years to submit a plan to the state. And what we're looking at to relieve the overcrowding on that level in the future is where Trask is. Laney was the most overcrowded. To move to build a new middle school, are you familiar with Sidbury Road, the church that was The Rock, which will now be C-Tech High School? We have a lot of land there. So we would have the land there to build another middle school at that end of the county, and then Trask could then become a ninth grade center, so to speak, for Laney High School, which is what we had when I started teaching here years ago. We had ninth grade centers. So as far as the free and reduced lunch numbers, some schools are going up. because they're lower now. Those that are higher now, actually, of course, nothing is set in stone yet.
Well, Williston is increasing to 64%, which is...
But I think actually overall they're going to go down.
Okay, that's not what I understood, but
okay.
Fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, well, that's my understanding, because like I say, none of this is set in stone yet, but the numbers there, because they are higher now, but that is supposed to go down because there are different maps, and we haven't really decided. And once everything settles down from the hurricane, then that we'll go back to address that.
What outcome do you want to promise people who vote for you on these redistricting maps? I mean, what's the most important element of this?
Well, as you stated, I've been on the board for a while. When I first got on the board, students in Creekwood, for example, elementary-wise, because I used to go help with the cookouts, the barbecues, all this stuff that they did, the children in Creekwood were bused to Holly Tree, Winter Park Elementary School, and Murrayville Elementary School. And I never will forget one night at a meeting, a black parent from Creekwood came up to me, took me by the arm. She said, "Ms. Hayes," she said, "if you let my boy go to that school down the street there," and she was pointing at Freeman, she said, "if you let my boy go to that school, I can be involved in his education. I can go to PTA meetings. I can do all this stuff because I don't have a car. I have no transportation." She said, "but if you send him way out to Murrayville, I have no way to take part in his education." Well, that made an impression on me. I try through choice allow children to attend the school nearest their home or other schools if they so desire. We have kids from all over the county going to the Lyceum program, for example, over at New Hanover.
You're a supporter of neighborhood schools.
Yes.
Would that be fair to say?
Right. Yeah, that would be fair.
Okay. You talk about choice. Just this week, we learned that 35 new charter schools want to open in North Carolina, including two new schools in the Cape Fear region by 2020, one proposed for Pender County, the other a Wilmington School of the Arts. Supporters of charter schools say they provide more choice to parents. Opponents say they take money from traditional public schools and also create more segregation. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, here again, believing in choice, I remember when they had the cap of 100 charter schools in the whole state. Once that was lifted, I guess the way I look at charter schools is that I think the growth in charter schools has been because I think public schools overall have been a little slow in reacting to parental concerns because, you know, you pay taxes. Of course, charter schools are public schools. Most parents want their children in the public schools, and there are a lot of very good charter schools. There are some that are not so good, just like public schools. Some are better than others. I think my focus has been to work on making the public schools such that that's where the parent wants their child. But as far as if a parent elects to a charter school, then I think that's the parent's decision. But I want them to be in the public schools, and that's what I work towards.
You signed a resolution, I think this was a couple of years ago, promising to increase diversity in the schools. Specific actions mentioned in that document were the opening of the new CTE high school and developing a student diversity plan. Where is that student diversity plan now, and will that come into play as redistricting continues to unfold?
Well, with the different things that that we have considered, you know, this year we're working with UNCW, you know, the lab school at what was Virgo, because we tried different things there to try and attract, whether it be magnet schools or whatever, to attract children into certain schools. We still continue those programs, and here again, I just think by choice, you know, whether if you've got a program in a school and parents want their children there, then I think that would help in that area. Other than that, unless you, like when I first started teaching here back in the 70s, every school had to reflect the racial makeup of the community, which was roughly, say, 70-30. So Williston, for example, if there were 1,000 children there, 700 needed to be white, 300 needed to be black, so you had a lot of busing. They've gotten away from that, and it has created some imbalance. But I would also like to say that if you look at funding, that we know there are greater needs in certain schools versus other schools. And if you take some of the higher need schools, they receive a lot more money than the lower need schools. For example, if the average is, say, $9,000 per child, this school might receive $13,000 per child. This school might receive $7,000 per child based upon the need. We try to have smaller class sizes. We pay the teachers in these schools extra money. We try to do those things to address the needs because we know the needs are greater.
And just briefly, if more money is going to some of those higher need schools, are we then seeing a correlation in performance improvement at those schools or not?
I'd say yes overall, but I think it could certainly be better. Also, I would like to just stress that having been in the Far East for a number of years, Japan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, whatever, I would also like to comment about the view of education in our country versus the view, the responsibility where it rests. I think we've got to accept more responsibility on the student level and the home level and not necessarily just the teacher level.
Fair enough. Don Hayes, thanks for taking the time to share your views with us today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're meeting half of the candidates for the New Hanover County Board of Education. When we return from this break, we'll talk with Judy Justice. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, we're meeting two Republicans and two Democrats. That's half of the eight candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Education. They're competing for four open seats, which carry four-year terms. You can ask the candidates your own question on this Wednesday by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org or calling us at 910-343-1138. What's at stake for you this election year, and what issues do you want the Board of Education in New Hanover County to consider in the coming years? Joining me now, Judy Justice, a Democrat. She taught social studies at Laney High School in the 1990s. She has also served as an assistant principal, principal, and central office administrator elsewhere. Her children attended New Hanover County Public Schools, and now her grandchildren attend. Judy Justice, welcome to Coastline.
Well, thank you for having me, Rachel. I'm so happy that you're having this opportunity for the public to be able to hear how we feel about education here in New Hanover County and why we're running.
And you have said on your website, and you just told me before we came on the air, that you're running because of what you see as the failing state of the schools. What do you mean by that?
Well, just a couple weeks ago, the North Carolina Department of Instruction came out with new statistics on the students here in New Hanover County, and only 66% of them are testing proficient. But that's just one indicator of why there's a problem. I retired and came back home 4 years ago. I'm from the area, grew up here, went to school at UNCW. My kids went here. I've got my grandkids living at home with me right now going to the schools. I care deeply about schools as a professional educator and as a family member. And when I came back 4 years ago, I was in shock to see what was going on. It appeared the schools, instead of going forward, were going backwards. And so I started going to board meetings. I started investigating what was going on. I have a lot of friends that are teachers, work in the schools, and other staff members, and they've been coming to me and talking to me about what's happening, and it's time for a change.
So what are the teachers telling you?
Well, morale's really low. There is an issue, and this isn't even coming from the teachers. I had a board member from the past from years ago who's no longer on the board said, you need to look at the budget. And since I am a retired central office administrator, one of the things I've done, I know how to read budgets. And one of the things I did when I read that budget, I was in shock, in fact, was I saw mishandling of money. And then you can also go into the state's indicators of who's making what as far as salaries. So if you work for the government, I saw extreme cronyism and nepotism. Then having experienced a situation during last spring where the teacher's assistants and the bus drivers were put together in one position where they had to take one job to do the other. I worked with some of those teacher's assistants to try to understand why their salaries had to be changed from hourly to a salary level to a hourly pay level, which caused a lot of them to actually have to take second jobs or actually maybe even lose their homes. And while I was doing that, I started looking at how this money, this is why I say it's being mishandled, was being spent overall. And this is money coming from the general fund. This is New Hanover County.
That's a pretty serious allegation. What do you mean by mishandling?
Okay, well, it's real straightforward. I can go ahead. To read the budget itself is like mind-boggling. It's not 88 pages for this year. But let me just briefly tell you what I found. Okay, I'm going to use the teacher's assistants, bus drivers, teachers, and school administrators as an example. All right, for the general funds, which the county commissioners are wonderful and they give us yearly, the bus drivers get zero amount of money out of that general fund. That their pay comes strictly from the state. The county could use, the district could use it, other funds, but they don't. They use the state funds, which is all they pay. The teacher's assistants get 6% out of the general fund, 6% towards their salaries, which is better than zero. Then you go to teachers. Teachers get out of, for their pay levels, they get 12% of the general funds, the local funds, paying towards their mainly supplements, teacher supplements. Then you go to the school administrators, leadership. It's all defined. It's all in the budget. They're getting 43% of their funds paid out of our local school general fund. There is some inequities here, big time. They could easily take some of that percentage and put it into bus drivers and teacher's assistants, and they would attract people. They wouldn't have had to put the position together, which is totally two different skill sets.
Fair enough, but let's be clear. Mishandling is an allegation that implies perhaps something unethical going on. You're talking about a different way of distributing funds that exist.
Correct.
Fair enough. We're talking right now about redistricting. Some public meetings have been rescheduled because of Hurricane Florence. A lot of people are still kind of coming back to the table and getting their head back in the game around that. Cam Bellamy of the Star News took a look at the current proposals for middles and high schools and saw that Holly Shelter, Myrtle Grove Middle Schools would see their free and reduced lunch numbers decrease slightly, but Murray Noble and Roland Grice Middle Schools take on more low-income students. Star News investigation found Roland Grice one of seven schools in the district showing signs of racial resegregation. Trask's high poverty student population would grow to 45%. Williston increased to 64%. What about that outcome?
That can be changed. There, when they set up the parameters for the school redistricting, they put a committee together down at central office with no outside input from parents, teachers. They didn't even bring principals in until after the fact. The school board had certain guidelines they were supposed to follow, which are very vague. And then when I saw them actually put into action when they started having the hearings last spring, because I was attending them, still am, lo and behold, I discovered it seemed like they didn't really have a real unified plan of what they were trying to achieve. I, as somebody who's an educational professional, have studied this and have cared deeply about, as I said, our district. We need to do what's called economic integration. And the current school board is aware of that. In fact, Markley has even said it over the last couple years. What they're sort of, and that's sort of listed in their guidelines. That's like one of their throwaways. They have like seven or eight guidelines they're throwing away in there. That should be a major part. Wake County soared. Their kids soared. Their scores went up 11%. They're now achieving 91% school as far as proficiency and their score levels. The minority students went up 41%. These are the kinds of things that the school board knew about. They know about now. These are the kinds of ways that we need to. We're the second smallest county in the state, distance-wise. They've got computer programs that they can lock into there.
So are you saying you would support the idea of busing to accomplish that goal of what you're calling economic integration, but you're also talking about racial integration?
I'm not necessarily talking about busing. The kids are already bused. For example, my grandson goes to Alderman right now. And we live literally between Alderman, which is above 50% on free and reduced lunch, and Holly Tree, which has got less than 10% kids on free and reduced lunch. If my grandson was bused to Holly Tree, he would get to school 3 minutes faster. That is a misnomer. Somebody throw that out there. It's almost like propaganda to distract from what's actually going on. We need to have a very proven system to help our children. We need to just explain to the community what's going on. And I really do think they would be behind economic integration.
Why is that propaganda? What is that covering?
It's covering terms that people associate with almost coding. There's no hidden fact for there's segregation issue back in the 1990s. We were under court order to resegregate. As soon as that order ended, that's when suddenly neighborhood schools popped up. I was a history teacher, so I care a lot about looking at what leads to what's going on now. We need neighborly schools. We need schools that are based on having all kids succeed. It's proven that kids that are in that kind of environment with no more than 45% on free and reduced lunch, the lower income kids, they achieve an awful lot more parity as far as their scores and attitudes and feelings about success. The kids with a higher income learn creativity and leadership, to learn to work in the world of 2018 and beyond. Everything is good. It's all positive. There's no reason not to do this. We're a small county. It's not a busing issue.
Last year, New Hanover County Schools saw the highest ever graduation rate, 86% of 12th graders. That's up from 83.4% the previous year. So despite all the bad press, is something going right?
Something must be going right. Some of the right could be the way that the kids are approached in the last 2 years in high school, as far as where they're sent, where they're located, what programs they follow. I told you, I've been inside the rooms where they decide how it is that they're going to keep the numbers looking good. It's not as simple as people seem to think. Just because the numbers go up doesn't mean that you have any less kids not graduating.
Charter schools. A lot of people support the idea of more choice, and they are on the rise. We just learned that 35 new ones want to open in the state by 2020, mm-hmm. a couple in this region, one in Wilmington. What do you think about the rise in charter schools? Is that positive for choice, or does that siphon money from traditional public schools?
I'm very conflicted about charter schools. I actually did my master's thesis on it here locally in New Hanover County, and this was back in the 80s. I believe it was not, actually early 90s. The thing is, charter schools originally in North Carolina were started for all the right reasons. In fact, the whole concept is a great concept originally. They were trying to use these schools as almost lab schools and be able to go beyond what a very bureaucratic school district could do to meet the needs of special populations. That's what charter schools were originally, and I think that's a great concept. I actually worked in the largest charter school in the state for almost 2 years over in the northeastern part of the state for a while. It was a great experience because they mainly had low-income kids and that were achieving pretty darn well. But that was an older charter school, and they were adhering to certain – they accepted, kids with disabilities. They had buses. They had free and reduced lunch. The charter schools, they don't have to provide that for kids. There's an awful lot of the different standards that public schools have to follow that charter schools don't. And that hurts the kids that attend, and that hurts the kids that are denied because there's usually waiting lists for some of those.
And that's this edition of the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Judy Justice, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. As I said, it's great that you're offering this opportunity to the public because everybody needs to know what's going on in our schools so they can get better.
Thanks also to Bill Rivenbark, Elena Rosemond Herr, and Don Hayes. Early voting begins October 17th. Election day is November 6th. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Producer is Rachel Keith. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caitlin Freund is our webmaster. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.